Praise the Lord, family. Welcome back to another Gift of Life show. Hey, happy Thanksgiving Day. Every day is Thanksgiving, but I know you're expecting to have family and friends over tomorrow. And if you're not, you're going to go out and minister to somebody, do something together. Hey, just have a great Thanksgiving. Let me open up with this verse. Hallelujah. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." Hallelujah. It says, "And for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Isn't that beautiful? So we just want to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And maybe tomorrow around the table, when you're getting ready to say grace and thank the Lord for your food, you can go around and just each one just say what they're thankful for. And, you know, I've been doing that, writing in my journal almost 42 days now and writing down three things that I am thankful for. And I learned from my coach, Dr. Leaf. She talked about that in her book, Think, Learn, and Succeed. She said that writing down, this is what she says. She goes, "Laughter and play are wonderful ways to reduce toxic stress and increase happiness." She goes, "When we play, we stretch our emotional mindsets and we express the range of how we can feel in a positive way." She goes, "In fact, laughing is often referred to as the internal jogging." Isn't that something? And so she says, simply act of writing down three things that you're grateful for every day for 21 days in a row significantly increases optimism levels. Isn't that neat? And it holds for the next 6 months and even longer if you do this for 63 days. It's like a three cycles of 21 days. So she's just saying jogging mentally is like laughing, and it's like and being grateful and thankful. It does some great chemical changes in your brain and in your body. So be thankful, be grateful, and just count your blessings, as the song says, one by one. Okay, we're going to get into the show, which is studying from Tony Evans' book, God Cannot Be Trusted. We already went over and studied the first lie of Satan that says God cannot be trusted. That's what Satan says. And we looked in the introduction part, and then I went into the lie, first lie, that God does not exist. That's what Satan wants us to think. And then the second lie, God is holding something out on us. And you can go on www.lovebyexample.com and you can click on radio and you'll see all those listed there if you missed any of the shows. I'm also opening up with Psalms 91. "As my foundation, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." And the third lie that Satan has is God cannot be trusted. Yeah. So let me just read what Tony Evans has here in his book. Good book, God Cannot Be Trusted, and Five Other Lies by Dr. Tony Evans. An awesome book. You should get it. But let me just read what he says. He said, "Eve had a decision to make, a big decision. God's instructions couldn't have been any clearer. He had told Adam and Eve that they could eat from any," remember that word, any. We talked about how she eliminated that out when she was quoting or trying to quote back God's word, "from any of the trees in a garden except one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in that day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." Now remember, I've been saying this, there's two choices, two trees, two decisions. Two ways, two paths, two gates that we get to choose and make a decision. But you want to make sure you're making right decisions so that you can reap the consequences of those decisions. And the right decision is God's choice, God's decisions, God's words, and what he says about your life and his plan that he has for you. And the only way you're going to discover that, you have to be in the Word of God and hang around other people that do. But as the devil conversed with Eve about what God had said and hadn't said, he fed her another of his lies. "You will not surely die." Now, God said that she would. Okay, in Genesis 2:17, Satan comes back in Genesis 3:4 and says, "No, you won't." Okay, earlier, Tony says, "I talked about how Satan loves to twist the word of God. so he can accomplish his own goal in our lives. And I've mentioned that before, too. We talked about that, like, for instance, in Psalms 91 that I opened up with, how Satan quoted in Matthew chapter 4, he quoted in the second temptation of this verse in verse 11 and 12 in Psalms 91, but he omitted Psalms 13, and he also omitted Psalms 91, 13. He also omitted that verse in Luke 4 as well. And so here it says what Satan didn't say to Jesus in the second temptation in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, are you the Son of God? If so, jump off this temple, because God will give his angels charge over you and he will bear you up. Well, he didn't say this. He didn't go on. He didn't say, you shall tread upon the lions and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under feet. He didn't say that in Matthew 4 or in Luke 4. So again, Satan loves to twist, turn, tweak God's word to his own end and for our destruction. So, but this time, Satan takes a giant step further with Eve and puts a spin on the word of God by contrasting it to what God's, contradicting what God had said. But Satan was getting Eve to disbelieve and not trust God. And what he really was telling Eve is that she shouldn't believe. She shouldn't believe, or she shouldn't trust what God had already said. He was telling her that God's word cannot be trusted. He was, in fact, calling God a liar. Now, let me read a verse to you in Romans 3, right here, verse 4. It says, I love this. Certainly not. This is the Apostle Paul. Certainly not. Let God be found true, as he will be, though every person be found a liar, just as it is written in Scriptures, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. What I want you to see is that let every man be a liar, but God be true. And look what it says in Hebrews 6, praise the Lord, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who has fled for our refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So God can't lie. There's no lying in God. Satan is the one that lies. And we talked about that in John chapter 8, where Jesus said right here, he said, and well, first of all, he said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So that's God's word. Okay, we got to believe that God is telling the truth. And when he speaks the truth. But he also said about Satan in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay? Wow. So there you go. Okay? So you have the liar here telling Eve and Adam that God is a liar, basically. Has God really said, you know, you won't die? The devil's bold in his lies. Satan is crafty and smart, and he knows how to push our buttons. But there's another side of the enemy we need to understand. He's very bold. The devil knew that God was the creator of the universe, the creator of the devil himself. He knew that it was God who had kicked him out of heaven, and he knew that he had to be sentenced to eternal fire. Yet, here he was calling the God who had done all these marvelous things a liar. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I believe when believers don't really trust and believe God's word, the only other store they can shop at is the devil's store, the lying store. So when believers don't really trust God, they don't put their trust in him, and they don't believe what his word says. And you can tell by if they're speaking it, talking it, and living it, or if they're putting their trust in the cares of the world, if they're putting their trust in worry, if they're putting their trust in fears and depression and low self-esteem, and they got chips on their shoulders, and they're just in this self-pity, this hostile self-confidence, righteous attitude, those thoughts and feelings you're putting your trust in Satan because they come from Satan. And you got to understand that, because as soon as you're aware of that, this is what I hope I'm doing. I'm hoping I'm making you aware of these toxic thoughts and where they're coming from so that you can wax them off and wax on the Word of God, which is basically renewing your mind, not to be conformed to this world's thought or the old ways that we used to think. Because we still have the remaining body of sin lingering in us. That's why we die. That's why we get old. That's why we have decay in our teeth and headaches and all that stuff. That's all part of death. But guess what? Those who have been born again have a new life in Christ in them. That's Romans 6. We're learning how to live the newness of life, a resurrection life that can push down and crush down those toxic thoughts and the chemicals and the hormones that it produces in our body. Sickness is part of death. You don't have to die before your time. The scripture right here in Psalms 91 says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Don't you want to show the salvation of the Lord? Especially in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, who's been called out of darkness, out of death, out of sickness, out of blindness, out of poverty, out of depression, out of despair, to come into his marvelous light, which is love, life, longevity, peace, joy, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, but you need to be in the Word, and you need to be around Word, faith-minded people. So that Proverbs 17:17, iron sharpens iron. You encourage each other. You learn from each other. You love one another. You rebuke one another. All the one another's. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Not just coming in, saying hi and goodbye once a week, and then coming back the next week and just repeat that cycle and just doing your dues, you know, paying God off kind of like a mafia God. You're paying him off so you don't get messed up during the week, you know. No, God is not a mafia God. He's not the Godfather. He's the Father. He's Father God. He's Abba Father. And so we need to start having trust in Abba Father. Believing our Creator has our back, no matter what. Well, Adam and Eve didn't, and we inherited that same sin principle, but the nature of that principle has been defeated. The penalty has been paid, and the power has been broken. But the presence, we still live in the presence of those toxic thoughts and that sin. That's what Romans 6, 7, and 8 is all about. So the only way we can experience living from this new life is you have to renew your mind or wax off and wax off. Wax on. And Adam and Eve didn't do that. So Satan's crafty, and Eve was faced with a serious question. Who was she going to believe? Was she going to believe what God had said, or was she going to believe the devil? And remember, we talked about who the devil is, talked about, you know, his name, the devil, the accuser, and the false accuser of the brethren, Revelations 12:9, and Satan, the word means adversary, enemy. So who is she going to believe? There was no room for compromise here. It was an either or situation for Eve. That's the very same question we face today. Will we believe God? Will we take him at his word? Will we believe him and trust him? Or will we join the devil in holding that God's word cannot be trusted? You know, I just pray that you will trust the Lord and prepare yourself for 2019 2019, as we get closer to the end of this year and begin to embark a new year, that you will commit yourself to trust God to change your life. He can change your life. And he does it through his son, Jesus Christ, who took your sins, took your iniquities, and by the chastisement of our peace, he took our problems. Let me read that. Isaiah 53, right here. He says he was wounded. Here it is. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, I just love this verse. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement upon him, oh my gosh, the chastisement upon him, I'm messing this up. I need to find it. Here it is. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, there it is, was put upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ took the pain, took the sickness, that selfishness, that self-centeredness, that self-pity, that pride. And in Proverbs 13:10, it says, all pride leads to quarrels. If you want to know why people are fighting and complaining and grumbling and are edgy and moody and you can't trust them, they lie here and they make excuses there and they're just up and down, just got all these bipolar, double-minded, cognitive dissident believers and people running around here, and everybody's just kind of isolated by themselves. They only wait till once a year to get together. You want to know why? It's because pride. Read that Proverbs. That's what, remember, Satan and Isaiah, we talked about that in the earlier shows. The five I wills that Satan said that he was going to do, and God kicked him out of heaven, so there was no room for that. Right here, he says, how have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How have you cut down? Have you cut down to the ground? You have said in your heart, in your mind, here's this pride. Look at this, is the epitome of pride. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. That is pride. And we already know in Proverbs, it says that God hates the six things that God hates, right? Let's see if I can find that right here. Six things that God hates, and pride is basically the bottom line of everything. But I wanted to read this Proverbs 13:10 too. But look at this in Proverbs 6. Okay, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, the very first thing, a proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, false witness who speak lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Oh my gosh. People that are causing fights and quarrels among the brothers and the sisters in the body of Jesus Christ. And I told you, we looked at James chapter 3, that kind of talk and foolishness and those toxic thoughts create strife and bitterness. And bitterness in Hebrews 12:15 leads to trouble. And that's just another form of anger. And look what it says in Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife. But with a well-advised is wisdom. So wisdom is trusting God. God said that in Proverbs. He said in Proverbs 4, I believe it's 4:7. Let me see, Proverbs 4:7, he said, get wisdom. Yeah, get understanding. Don't forget not to turn away from the words of your mouth. And look at 7 in Proverbs 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. What's wisdom? The ability to see what you need to do, what is right. Adam and Eve, they chose not to listen to the wisdom of God. And it says, therefore, get wisdom. And look at this. In all your understanding, get understanding. In all your getting, get understanding. And this is what God wants us to do, to understand that he loves you with an everlasting love. He sent his son to die for you. And he wants you to know he is your creator. He has a master plan for you. He has your destiny already figured out from the beginning to the end. He knows exactly what you should be doing here on earth. And as I said in my book, Do You See What I See? Answering those questions, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Those answers will be answered if you choose to trust God. That's the only choice you have, trusting God or trusting Satan. And Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So a decision we all have to make. The thought of telling God that his word cannot be trusted should send shivers down the spine of every believer. After all, this whole Christian thing is built around faith, around believing that God keeps his promise he has made in his word. Can you think of a time when you might have joined the devil in saying that God's word can't be trusted? Off the top of your head, most of us would probably respond, God forbid. I'd never say that about the word of God. Is anything that would say that I didn't trust God's word. However, I believe that just about every Christian at some point or another has done that very same thing, thinking that God's word is not true, especially when you're waiting for an answer prayer. How about that? I know, because God right now is working on me, and I'm learning, I'm passing tests to experience his patience, in the silent times when I don't hear him answering my prayers, when I see very well this is the answer to this particular issue right now, no matter what area, in church and government and schools and businesses, this is the answer and I got it and I can help them, Lord. And when I see seeds being sown and on these different soils, and sometimes I don't see the harvest coming back like I would like to see it, and it comes back actually backwards, it's like I can easily get discouraged and despondent if I choose to. But now that I know where those despondent thoughts are coming from the enemy that come into my mind, now that I know that I can cast them down in Jesus' name, that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cast down those arguments and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now that I know I can do that, I trust God a lot more. I just believe God. Because the scriptures say in John chapter 4, verse 8, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now that's it, bottom line. And I have this seed around my neck to remind me I have been born again with an incorruptible seed. And I am connected with the divine nature of God, resurrection power. So if I have all that power inside me, I can choose to believe God and cast down Satan's lies. Now, I do that a lot more these days because I know better now. One pastor said, if you know better, you'll do better. And I'm hoping that this information that I'm giving you and scriptures that I'm giving you, that you will dig deep. Because it says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, the thoughts of a person's heart is like deep water. The intentions, the counsel of a person's heart, and that's talking about our mind, is like deep water. And with understanding, they will draw it out. I hope you're going to be drawing out the destiny that God has for you. His perfect plan. Not a plan of destruction and evil, but a plan of good to prosper you and to give him the glory. Don't you want that in your life? Wow. This may sound harsh about believing that we might not trust God and we doubt God, we're double-minded, and basically we're calling God a liar. But many people's lives reflect an unwillingness to take God at his word. He says, our churches are full of professing believers who treat the word of God as if they were atheistic. Wow. My goodness. When our lives reflect an unwillingness, then that's a key. That's a key. I love the words humble and hungry. You have to be hungry for the word of God and humble so he can correct you and not resist him. So unwillingness is just the opposite, okay? Or the inability to acknowledge the word of God as true. The devil has us right where he wants us. But the good news is that we can trust God and believe every word that he has spoken. He says, a word you can trust. The Bible is filled with promises after fulfilled promise after fulfilled promise that we can trust God's word. Jesus himself said about this when he said, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota or dot will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Matthew 5:18. In short, if the Bible says it, we can bank on it. That's it. But there's one more to our faith that simply agreeing with God's word that we can trust him. Sorry, let me read that again. But there is more to our faith than simply agreeing with God that his word can be trusted. We must put some kind of action behind our faith. Whoa, right there. Jesus defined that action when he told a group of his disciples, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth because the truth shall set you free. John 8:31-32. I'm going to stop there and we're going to keep on going. This is part one of Satan's third lie. Wow. Satan's third lie, God cannot be trusted. So stay tuned. We're going to continue on. But you have to put faith with what you believe. You have to put actions with what you believe. I want you to trust God now. I'm going to play a song by Tony Evans' son, Anthony Evans, and it's called trust in me now. Listen to the words carefully. I just believe Tony Evans' son has really got a relationship with the Father. So listen to the words and trust God. Make a new commitment. Make a new resolution that you're going to be in the Word of God, seek godly people, and that you are going to trust God and be willing, not unwilling. See, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. No, be willing to let God change you from the inside out, and trust God now. God bless you. See you really soon, and happy Thanksgiving.
Can't.